The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, James and Betty, along with Beth Moore, encourage us to experience God's kingdom in you.
He came to bring a deposit of what the kingdom of God is ultimately going to look like. I can barely stand this. That when he would preach the kingdom, they would heal the sick where they were preaching it. As if to say, you want a glimpse of the kingdom? Watch this.
Wholeness and healing in the kingdom, next.
Welcome. Sometimes I feel like I want to literally jump up and down. I'm James Robinson. This is Betty. I want to just jump up and down because I'm so excited about what God is revealing to us as we pray for you about His kingdom, His purpose through His presence on us to impact and make a godly imprint on planet Earth. I mean, this is the will of God. And somehow, Betty, we have just met in churches and we've not let the power of the church overpower the gates of hell and destruction. We've got the footprints of the world all over people, all over church people, rather than the impact of God's glory and His presence. Beth Moore joined with Betty and with me to teach God's kingdom in you. I love the subheading. This is something the Lord gave me as I prayed about an understanding of kingdom perspective. It's living in His presence in the present. It's not deferred to the future. It's not deferred future reward. There's that kingdom of heaven. But what about thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth, in us, through us, now? And Jesus teaching us to pray that way. And He likes to answer our prayers. What does that look like? Well, we're going to join a portion of this teaching, which you can get on DVD, CD, and also get a study guide. We want you to get it. We join that session right now.
I've got something I'm about to burst to share with
Go
you guys.
For it.
And it's the first time I've ever seen this. Some of the things we've talked about, I've been in ministry a long time and a long time together. So some of these things were truths that God had already shown us. But something jumped out at me this time in preparation that I can hardly stand to hold back any longer. It's out of Luke. I want to read Luke 9, 1 and 2 to you. And then I want to read Luke 10, verse 8. So Luke 9, watch a concept take place here. Luke 9, 1 and 2. I always get scared that I've written down the wrong address and that I'm going to get to the reference and it won't be there. And so I'm forever telling God to move it there temporarily. And He can move it back later. So, but right now, it is still where it's supposed to be. So I'm really happy about that. Luke 9. Verses 1 and 2. When Jesus, everybody just say Jesus.
Jesus.
Listen, there is power in the name of Jesus. Just say it out loud, Jesus.
Jesus.
When Jesus had called the 12 together, He gave them power and authority. Everybody say power and authority.
Power and authority.
To drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And He sent them out. Listen carefully to verse 2. He sent them out to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. He sent them out, I want to say that again, to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Now look at 10 verse 8, Luke 10 verse 8. I can hardly stand this. I'm almost having to get up.
You can.
Okay.
Get up and
I'm not going to do
off.
It. I'm not going to do it, but I want to. Okay. Luke 10 verse 8. When you enter a town and are welcomed, eat what is set before you, heal the sick who are there and tell them, the kingdom of God is near you. Okay, do you see the coupling here? Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. Preach the kingdom of God and heal the sick. And here is what I think, because we know that when by the time Christ went to the cross and then He was resurrected from the grave, every person in the world had not been healed. but many had been healed. He came to bring a deposit of what the kingdom of God is ultimately going to look like. I can barely stand this. That when he would preach the kingdom, they would heal the sick where they were preaching it, as if to say, you want a glimpse of the kingdom? Watch this. And here's what I want to say to you. There is wholeness and healing in this kingdom mentality.
Absolutely.
There's complete wholeness when we see him face to face and his kingdom comes. When we keep praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. When that fullness of the kingdom comes and it is apparent and obvious and in all its bright array and glory in front of every single eye and every tongue confesses that he is Lord and that he is King, we will know complete healing and wholeness. But with the kingdom mentality comes considerable healing and wholeness. And I love it because he gave them a taste. You see, when the kingdom really is set up upon this earth and he reigns here upon his throne, there will be no more sickness.
No more assault to the enemy.
We will be healed. We will be whole. And so what it began to show me is that in this kingdom mentality and in this message, in this kingdom kind of thinking, there is so much wholeness and so much healing to be had. I mentioned to you earlier Matthew 13. I want you to go back there for just a moment because it speaks such riches to me. I want you to see something Christ says. It's right under the portion where it talks about the secrets of the kingdom, that they're given to those that want to receive them, and to the ones who have, much more will be given. In other words, as much as you want to receive of the kingdom, you can. I'll teach you. I'll reveal it to you through my word. But if you don't want to hear it and you don't receive it, you're going to lose what you already had. So there's that continuous yearning for God to teach us. But listen to this part. It says in verses 13 through 15, I'm in Matthew 13. This is why I speak to them in parables. Though seeing, they do not see. Though hearing, they do not hear or understand. In them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah. You will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. Listen carefully, verse 15. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise, they might see with their eyes, hear with their ears, understand with their hearts, look at this, to be able to see with our eyes, really hear with our ears, understand with our hearts, and turn, and I would heal them. That word understanding in the original Greek language is a word that means, if we were to give a picture image to it, it's putting puzzle pieces together. And it speaks such truth to me because throughout the course of God giving us, bringing us a soft and tender heart toward him instead of the calloused, hard heart, when we're really willing to see, God, cause me to see meaning in what I'm going through. Cause me to see where you're working. Cause me to see something of the kingdom in this pain I'm going through. When we really want to have eyes that don't just see, but they perceive. And we want to have ears that don't just hear, they truly listen. Then he says, if you'll give your heart to me, I will bring you a measure of understanding where a couple of puzzle pieces start coming together. And you know, Betty, we won't get all of them till we see him face to face.
That's right.
But a couple of them can come together and change everything for us. And when I see that God has had meaning, that this piece and what he's called me to do really does, come to think of it, go with this piece, go with this piece, go with this piece. You know, when you wonder, when you have a background like mine of abuse, of course, God is not the author of any kind of abuse or bondage or sin. But he did allow it. And why did he allow it in my particular life? Well, because of what I was called to do and what you may be called to do. Every bit of what has come behind us in our brokenness has use in the kingdom. And when we begin to see that he can use it to bring ministry to people and to bring compassion and humility to us as we serve people, it starts bringing a couple of puzzle pieces together.
Absolutely.
And then there's healing. Then there's healing.
And it's so important that you understand this healing that he's referring to is wholeness. It goes so far beyond the physical. You know, it's very interesting that Jesus did these incredible miracles and healed people, whether they were lepers or blind or crippled. But in nearly every instance, and on probably more occasions than not, he would say, don't tell anybody. Mm-hmm. Now, you may say, why would Jesus tell these people not to tell everybody? The same reason when he fed the 5,000, that people immediately looked to God without a total understanding of the wholeness and the meat to eat the world knows not of, the living bread. And he knows people think that Jesus is just an automatic fast food service. And so if we can get to Jesus, he's just going to give us all the food. And the same way we'll get to Jesus, my crooked arm will get straight, but not necessarily my crooked life.
Yes.
See, they don't understand. Many times you're looking and not a thing wrong with saying, God, heal the sick. Heal me. But I know a lot of people that have a healthy body but a sick soul.
Oh, my
because
goodness.
They've never been made whole. So when you're looking for this kingdom power and you're looking for kind of healing Jesus is talking about, that doesn't mean for a moment, Beth, that we shouldn't ask God to heal our diseases
yes.
and our afflictions. But on this planet, disease will still be stalking.
Yes.
I mean, that's the difference in the ultimate kingdom. That is the future kingdom
right.
where the enemy is no more, where all the former things are passed away. But in this kingdom, we've got to understand, don't hesitate to ask God for miraculous healing. Don't fail to pray and say, pray for me. Pray you. It's really right. The largest number of calls come in our phone center always, it's about 60 or 70% of them every day. Is dealing with physical illness.
Is it right?
So it's not an insignificant thing. Somebody has either got a family member that they love or someone they love that are close to that are fighting a physical ailment. So it's right to ask. And God does do miracles, but don't settle for the physical or what you see readily and miss what you don't see readily. And that is the impact of the kingdom and receiving what God gives. You know, when you were talking about the servant and you were saying to us a while ago about how we found joy in that.
Yeah.
See, really, in essence, we have joy serving you in the sense that we want to share what God's given you with others. That means we are serving you in the proper sense of the word. At the same time, you're serving us. You're saying, James, I'm trying to help people that you love and that God connected you with. And maybe I give you and Betty a day that you're not under that responsibility, which lets you be in the presence of the Lord. So in this sense, we're serving one another. Now, here's the thing you've got to understand about servanthood. You don't serve someone to get something. When you serve God and serve others, you can't help but get what God has for
good.
You.
That's good.
You don't stop the blessings of God when you wish the blessings and bestow the blessings on others. See, that's why when I give to the hungry, or I give money to drill a water well, or I give to do something in any mission outreach or support my church, I'm not giving to get, I'm giving to bless. And when you live to bless, you can't escape the blessing of God in your life because He is looking for the people, the persons, the vessel through which He can flow His blessing on everyone. We live this, that really is the correct servant heart. And also when you give, Jesus said it's more blessed to give than receive. See, when I give, if I meet a need, or seek to meet a need, or I give in love for the glory of God and for His purpose, the moment I have done that, I have experienced a greater blessing than receiving what may come my way. Betty and I, in our nearly 50-year journey, or 50 years of being in love and 48 years married, we have never given a gift because we thought we were going to get some reward back. We never have. You say, but God says that, you know, He'll bless you and you know, He'll just pour all this out. But see, He doesn't just talk about material gain or money. He says, I'll give you the ability to forgive. I'll give you the ability to love your enemies. I'll give you the ability to lend and help people without ever thinking about it being repaid. I'm going to let you live in this liberty. This is the blessing pressed down and running over. It's the river of
yes.
the life of God.
Yes.
And when you begin to let it flow freely, I'm telling you, it is amazing. And you will never, and you must never measure what's coming back monetarily. I mean, if the enemy thinks that he can short-circuit you in your relationship with God by hammering you somewhere materially or monetarily, get ready for the hammer to come in that area for most of your life. If you pursue Him, He says He'll give you the desires of your heart because He has shaped the appropriate desires into your heart. Does that make sense? See, if you don't need to lose your dreams if you let Him be your dream, be your pursuit, and you lay your dreams at His feet. He loves to bless you and even fulfill those appropriate dreams. But ask Him to meet your needs and accomplish His purpose, not just give you your desires. Say, God, shape the desires of my heart. When He's the desire of your heart and you want something for some reason, it will be in the ultimate for the blessing of others and the glory of God. Does all that make sense?
So good. My grandson Jackson, at 4 years old, said something that we have quoted him about so many times. You know, he'd heard he has godly, godly parents, and has heard his daddy preach a number of times, and has heard about the concept of asking Jesus into your heart. And that must have just turned over and over in his mind. And, you know, because he's just a little guy, and he's just still just in his little human nature completely, because he's just, we grow up. We have to grow out of our selfishness. It's in us from the start. But he said, Daddy, he said, I just want to ask my own self into my own heart. You know, just like, why do we have to always ask someone else into our heart? Why can't I just ask myself into my heart? But that's us in our human nature. Like, I want to be full of my own self. I want to be big on ego. But one of the things that God did to bless us most is say, you know what? Die to that ego so that I can raise you in my spirit. And it is one of the most challenging things we have in kingdom living, is understanding that it is in the crucified flesh and the risenness of his spirit in us that we have the victory and that we have the fullness. That's where things don't have any kind of clutching grip on us. That's where we find ourselves completely free.
And don't you think that the goal toward obtaining that fullness that only Christ can give us
Absolutely.
Is through asking him for his understanding
Yes.
and his
Yes.
wisdom, so that when the blessings come, we're able to know how to respond and be a blessing, you know, through his blessing.
That's right.
And to be a blessing and not to miss out. Sometimes I think that we tend to miss out on blessing others because we aren't getting that wisdom and understanding because we haven't opened the door for him.
So right.
I mean, the sensitivity, that has to come from God.
You're so
to
right.
see someone that's in need, to care that someone's hurting, to care that someone needs Jesus. If we don't have that, God building that sensitivity into us through his word and his wisdom, we're really missing out on the blessings of God.
Boy, you know, Betty, Beth and I've said many times that we sort of pour our heart out and then you'll just open up, and so many times you capsule a lot of what's in our heart that we're trying to express, and you express it so beautifully. And Betty shares throughout this series. It was so wonderful. I mean, Beth and I, obviously, we just sort of come with an overflow. Beth made a statement during the teaching session that is, with listening to me now, is like trying to lasso the wind. Someone else said it's like trying to get a drink of water out of a fire hydrant. I mean, it's just the flow is coming, and that's the word. Beth and I sort of live in that release, and Betty is such a beautiful, quiet spirit, and God's glory is all over you. I want you to get the insights we share. I want you to understand kingdom reality now. Really living in his presence in the present. I mean, this is every truth that you've ever seen about the Christian life from a perspective of understanding it in the sense of spiritual gravity. It's really the purpose of God. When you become aware of it like you are the atmosphere, and when you realize that your attitude creates an atmosphere that can actually create a climate, and a climate then creates a culture, and the culture is known for what it grows. We need to grow what the kingdom produces. And kingdom life releases a river of life and a river of love. And here is a place where right now, you talk about getting joy unspeakable. You release the love of God where the need is so obvious and where the results so incredible. I want you to watch this. You are the difference maker.
You can hear right now the dull cry, the dull moan of children who are dying. Just a dull moan that comes from a child who doesn't have enough energy to cry. In fact, they don't even have enough energy to live any longer. It's a sound that we've come to know as a sound of death. these children are calling you, and I'm going to call on their behalf. And I'm going to make that cry a cry of a call of action that says, please, open your hearts and act. Do whatever you can do, because children are not supposed to die. Children are not supposed to find themselves battling life and death each and every day. That's not what God intended, and that's not what's right or what's fair. And you can change it. If you would hear this call today and you would allow it to be a call to action that says, I'm going to take an action that's going to save lives today. I'm going to give them that basic human need that they have, just a bowl of food a day. And through giving that bowl of food, I'm going to save their lives. And I'm going to end this cry. I'm going to end this cry of death, and I'm going to turn it into a song, a celebration, a joy of life.
I just thank God that when I saw the need and held the children, and when I walked by the mound after mound were hundreds and even thousands of little graves, most of them about like this, maybe some a little larger, that held little children's bodies. I'm glad I didn't turn away and walk away. I'm glad, Betty, that I saw those children, surely as Jesus saw the one sheep when 99 were safe and secure, and he was out there. And I'm so grateful that when Betty and I came back with a broken heart and shared it with our viewers like you, that everyone didn't just change the channel or turn away. But people like you, just like you, and maybe you are one that has done it for years, you reached out and you touched someone with the love of God. And you said, I care enough to share, and you wrote a check or you called the number and used a bank card, the most appropriate way you'll ever use it, to give life. So I'm asking you, as we do twice a year from feeding programs, I'm asking you to help us feed the 500,000 children like those Esau was pointing to, and you can see the big pot of soup there. Likely they just set that feeding center up, but I'm asking you to help us keep all the feeding centers going. I'm asking you to give a gift. If you could help us feed 100 children by giving $1,000 for the next months, or $100 to feed 10, would you do it? 50 will feed 5, 30 will feed 3. I don't know at what level you can help. But to those 3, 5, or 10 children, boy, it means a lot. And to the family and to the mother. And that nutrition center, Betty, you know that old building, that brick building, and they had the little intravenous feeding and those little emaciated bodies. We helped set up those clinics, and we've helped put the sugar and oil and the little intravenous feeding for the ones that are just very near death. You pay for that. Viewers do. Our viewers do.
Absolutely. And you know, as I was listening to Esau talk and ask for your help, and I heard the cries of these babies that are going to die if we don't help them, I am so grateful that when our children were babies, I never heard a cry quite like that one. Because you see, every time our baby cried, indicating they were hungry, they got fed. These babies don't have a chance without our help. I hope you will join with us, and let's give these children a chance to turn their cries of death into laughter, joy, and life.
And you know, as Esau pointed out, a lot of them were too weak to even cry where you could hear them. But I believe you heard. Would you dial that number, please? Or go online, lifetoday.org. You make a check, make it to Life. Take your bank card, use it. Could you help us care for 10 of those children, or 5 or 3 or perhaps even 100? We have some gifts for you. God's kingdom in you, revealed through you in situations like this. We want to bless you. while you bless others. Thank you for making that call. If you get a busy, be determined for the sake of those precious children. You get through. You give them life.
At this very moment, a child is drawing her last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like her throughout Africa face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 500,000 children throughout remote areas of Angola, Mozambique, and Sudan. With previous food reserves gone and Southern Africa facing its worst conditions and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies for the feeding programs immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the God's Kingdom in You audio series and companion scripture guide. James and Betty Robison, along with Beth Moore, inspire you to live every day in the power and presence of God. With your gift of $125 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request both the video DVD and audio series with scripture guide. As a bonus, we'll also send you Jim Hilton's new book, The Supernatural Skyline. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help save the lives of 100 children, and be sure to request the beautiful new Heart of the Father bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your secure gift online.
You know, we really would like to ask you, if you can, help us care for 100 children. I ask for the beautiful collectible, this bronze. It is absolutely beautiful. This one is titled Heart of the Father. God wants to put His arms of love around the world. Would you help us if you possibly can? We want to send you God's Kingdom in You. We want to be a blessing to you, but we're asking you to join us blessing others and revealing the heart of the Father. And we need your help. We've got 500,000 kids right now. The missionaries have located. Would you put arms around as many as you possibly can? Thank you for doing that.
I think it's a good example of how we have to be provoked to see people differently.
What will the next generation of Christians look like next week? Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of Life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.